Reading from chapter 13 of the first canto, titled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants, Maharaj Yudhishthira, his younger brothers, Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjaya, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, Uttara, Kripi, many other wives of the Kauravas, and other ladies with children all hurried to him in great delight. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period. Gandhari, the ideal chaste lady in the history of the world. She was the daughter of Maharaj Subal, the king of Gandhar, now Gandhar in Kabul, and in her maiden state she worshipped Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is generally worshipped by Hindu maidens to get a good husband. Gandhari satisfied Lord Shiva, and by his benediction to obtain 100 sons, she was betrothed to Dhritarashtra, despite his being blind forever. When Gandhari came to know that her would-be husband was a blind man, to follow her life companion, she decided to become voluntarily blind. So she wrapped up her eyes with many silk linens, and she was married to Dhritarashtra under the guidance of her elder brother Shakuni. She was the most beautiful girl of her time, and she was equally qualified by her womanly beauties, which endeared every member of the Kaurava court. But despite all her good qualities, she had the natural frailties of a woman, and she was envious of Kunti when the latter gave birth to a male child. Both the queens were pregnant, but Kunti first gave birth to a male child. Thus Gandhari became angry and gave a blow to her own abdomen. As a result, she gave birth to a lump of flesh only. But since she was a devotee of Vyasadev, by the instruction of Vyasadev, the lump was divided into 100 parts, and each part gradually developed to become a male child. Thus her ambition to become the mother of 100 sons was fulfilled, and she began to nourish all the children according to her exalted position. When the intrigue of the Battle of Kurukshetra was going on, she was not in favor of fighting with the Pandavas. Rather, she blamed Dhritarashtra, her husband, for such a fratricidal war. She desired that the state be divided in two parts, for the sons of Pandu and her own. She was very affected when all her sons died in the Battle of Kurukshetra, and she wanted to curse Bhimasena and Yudhishthira, but she was checked by Vyasadev. Her mourning over the death of Duryodhan and Dushasan before Lord Krishna was very pitiful, and Lord Krishna pacified her by transcendental messages. She was equally aggrieved on the death of Karna, and she described to Lord Krishna the lamentation of Karna's wife. She was pacified by Srila Vyasadev when he showed her dead sons then promoted to the heavenly kingdoms. She died along with her husband in the jungles of the Himalayas near the mouth of the Ganges. She burned in a forest fire. Maharaj Yudhishthira performed the death ceremony of his uncle and aunt. Pritha, daughter of Maharaj Shirasena and sister of Vasudev, Lord Krishna's father. Later she was adopted by Maharaj Kuntibhoj, hence she is known as Kunti. She is the incarnation of the success potency of the personality of Godhead. The heavenly denizens from the upper planets used to visit the palace of King Kuntibhoj, and Kunti was engaged for their reception. She also served the great mystic sage Durvas, and being satisfied by her faithful service, Durvasa Muni gave her a mantra by which it was possible for her to call for any demigod she pleased. As a matter of inquisitiveness, she at once called for the sun god, who desired couplement with her, but she declined. But the sun god assured her immunity from virgin adulteration, and so she agreed to his proposal. As a result of this couplement, she became pregnant, and Karna was born to her. By the grace of the sun, she again turned into a virgin girl, but being afraid of her parents, she quitted the newly born child Karna. After that, when she actually selected her own husband, she preferred Pandu to be her husband. Maharaj Pandu later wanted to retire from family life and adopt the renounced order of life. Kunti refused to allow her husband to adopt such a life. But at last, Maharaj Pandu gave her permission to become a mother of sons by calling some other suitable personalities. Kunti did not accept this proposal at first, but when vivid examples were set by Pandu, she agreed. Thus, by dint of the mantra awarded by Durvasa Muni, she called for Dharmaraj, and thus Yudhishthira was born. She called for the demigod Vayu, air, and thus Bhim was born. She called for Indra, the king of heaven, and thus Arjun was born. The other two sons, namely Nakul and Sahadev, were begotten by Pandu himself in the womb of Madri. Later on, Maharaj Pandu died at an early age, for which Kunti was so aggrieved that she fainted. Two co-wives, namely Kunti and Madri, decided that Kunti should live for the maintenance of the five minor children, the Pandavas, and Madri should accept the sati rituals by meeting voluntary death along with her husband. This agreement was endorsed by great sages like Shatasringa and others present on the occasion. Later on, when the Pandavas were banished from the kingdom by the intrigues of Duryodhan, Kunti followed her sons, and she equally faced all sorts of difficulties during those days. During the forest life, one demon girl, Hidimba, wanted Bhim as her husband. Bhim refused, but when the girl approached Kunti and Yudhishthir, they ordered Bhim to accept her proposal and give her a son. As a result of this combination, Ghatotkach was born, and he fought very valiantly with his father against the Kauravas. In the forest life, they lived with a Brahmin family that was in trouble because of one Bakasura demon, and Kunti ordered Bhim to kill the Bakasura to protect the Brahmin family against troubles created by the demon. She advised Yudhishthir to start for the Panchaladesh. Draupadi was gained in this Panchaladesh by Arjun, but by order of Kunti, all five of the Pandava brothers became equally the husbands of Panchali, or Draupadi. She was married with the five Pandavas in the presence of Vyasadev. Kunti Devi never forgot her first child Karna, and after Karna's death in the Battle of Kurukshetra, she lamented and admitted before her other sons that Karna was her eldest son prior to her marriage with Maharaj Pandu. Her prayers for the Lord after the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Lord Krishna was going back home, are excellently explained. Later, she went to the forest with Gandhari for severe penance. She used to take meals after each 30 days. She finally sat down in profound meditation and later burnt to ashes in a forest fire. Draupadi, the most chaste daughter of Maharaj Drupad and partly an incarnation of the goddess Sachi, the wife of Indra, Maharaj Drupad performed a great sacrifice under the superintendence of the sage Yaj. By his first offering, Drishtadyumna was born, and by the second offering, Draupadi was born. She is therefore the sister of Drishtadyumna, and she is also named Panchali. The five Pandavas married her as a common wife, and each of them begot a son in her. Maharaj Yudhishthir begot a son named Pratibhit, Bhimasena begot a son named Sutasharma, Arjun begot Shrutakiti, Nakul begot Shatanika, and Sahadev begot Shrutakarma. She is described as a most beautiful lady, equal to her mother-in-law Kunti. During her birth, there was an error message that she should be called Krishna. The same message also declared that she was born to kill many Kshatriya. By dint of her blessings from Shankar, she was awarded five husbands equally qualified. When she preferred to select her own husband, princes and kings were invited from all the countries of the world. She was married with the Pandavas during their exile in the forest. But when they went back home, Maharaj Drupad gave them immense wealth as a dowry. She was well received by all the daughter-in-laws of the Dhritarashtra. When she was lodged in a gambling match, she was forcibly dragged into the assembly hall, and an attempt was made by Dushasan to see her naked beauty, even though there were elderly persons like Bhishma and Drona present. She was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and by her praying, the Lord himself became an unlimited garment to save her from the insult. A demon of the name Jatasura kidnapped her, but her second husband, Bhimasena, killed the demon and saved her. She saved the Pandavas from the curse of Maharaj Durvasa by the grace of Lord Krishna. When the Pandavas lived incognito in the palace of Virat, Kichak was attracted by her exquisite beauty, and by the arrangement with Bhim, the devil was killed and she was saved. She was very much aggrieved when her five sons were killed by Ashwatthama. At the last stage, she accompanied her husband Yudhishthir and others and fell on the way. The cause of her falling was explained by Yudhishthir, but when Yudhishthir entered the heavenly planet, he saw Draupadi gloriously present there, as the goddess of fortune in the heavenly planet. Subhadra, daughter of Vasudev and sister of Lord Sri Krishna. She was not only a very dear daughter of Vasudev, but also a very dear sister to both Krishna and Baladev. The two brothers and sister are represented in the famous Jagannath Temple of Puri, and the temple is still visited by thousands of pilgrims daily. This temple is in remembrance of the Lord's visit at Kurukshetra during an occasion of solar eclipse and a subsequent meeting with the residents of Vrindavan. The meeting of Radha and Krishna during this occasion is a very pathetic story, and Lord Chaitanya, in the ecstasy of Radharani, always pined for Lord Sri Krishna at Jagannath Puri. While Arjun was at Dwarka, he wanted to have Subhadra as his queen, and he expressed his desire to Lord Krishna. Sri Krishna knew that his elder brother Lord Baladev was arranging her marriage elsewhere, and since he did not dare to go against the arrangement of Baladev, he advised Arjun to kidnap Subhadra. So, when all of them were on a pleasure trip on the Revata hill, Arjun managed to kidnap Subhadra according to the plan of Sri Krishna. Sri Baladev was very angry at Arjun, and he wanted to kill him, but Lord Krishna implored his brother to excuse Arjun. Then Subhadra was duly married with Arjun, and Abhimanyu was born of Subhadra. At the premature death of Abhimanyu, Subhadra was very mortified, but on the birth of Parikshit, she was happy and solaced. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Jakshurun Minitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitams Tvam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Takta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutare Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharina Nirvishesha Shandavadi Paschati Deshitayana. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here. There's a lot of information in this purport, and today we will focus on a few statements. So please give me your blessings that I can facilitate an understanding of this wonderful part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the translation, it states, the verse translation, it states that when they saw Vidura, it appeared that the members of the Pandava court had regained their life, had regained their consciousness after a long time. So my understanding of this was that they felt greatly engladdened. The dearest thing to us is ourselves, actually, as we are also part and parcel of Krishna. and consciousness is a symptom of the self. So when someone is not conscious and their consciousness is regained, it's a great source of inspiration and happiness. So all the members of the Pandava court were overjoyed to see Vidura after he'd been on pilgrimage for 30 years. This is after the battle of Kurukshetra. And because he's such a saintly person with a transcendental nature, he has such wonderful qualities that they just felt, and they could feel that he, you know, cared for them and gave them wise counsel, and they genuinely appreciated him for this. He treated everyone with so much care and wisdom. For Dhritarashtra, Vidura was his dear brother. He depended on him, relied on him, and he valued his judgment. For the Pandavas, Vidura had saved them many a times or helped them overcome many trials and tribulations, and they greatly appreciated Vidura. So Vidura, just like the six Goswamis, was cherished and appreciated by both the saintly and the not-so-saintly. Dhira dhira jana priyo priyo karo nirmatsaro pujito, because he was free from envy for anyone. So this is a wonderful quality that I wanted us to appreciate about Vidura and about this first translation. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives character sketches on prominent ladies in the Pandava court. And what struck me about these wonderful Vaishnavis is their incredible strength of character. By hearing about them, hopefully we can emulate some of their wonderful qualities. Gandhari is said to be, here in the purport, the ideal chaste lady in the history of the world. Gandhari is exceptional. Her strength of character is practically unmatched. Further down in the first canto, in the ninth chapter, she's described as a tapasvi because of her austerity and chastity. Srila Prabhupada says in 1948, Gandhari was a powerful ascetic. Although she was living the life of a faithful wife and kind mother, it is said that Gandhari also voluntarily closed her eyes because of the blindness of her husband. A wife's duty is to follow the husband 100%, and Gandhari was so true to her husband that she followed him even in his perpetual blindness. Therefore, in her actions, she was a great ascetic. Besides that, the shock she suffered because of the wholesale killing of her 100 sons and grandsons was also certainly too much for a woman. But she suffered all that like an ascetic. Gandhari, although a woman, is no less than Bhishma Dev in character. They are both remarkable personalities in the Mahabharata. So here Srila Prabhupada is highlighting her ability to follow her husband in such an extreme circumstance and to tolerate all this suffering. In fact, Gandhari bound her eyes with silk cloth before she even met Dhritarashtra. When she found out her husband was blind, her to-be husband was going to be blind, she didn't want to have any privilege that he didn't have. And to be able to fully understand his predicament, she took this very extreme step of binding her eyes, which is quite incredible and something that is to really be wondered at in many ways. So I don't know if anyone has a scriptural definition of chastity from the Bhagavatam. Does anyone have any ideas? Okay, maybe in view of time I'll give the reference, but I'll ask you more questions later. So in 7.11.25, chastity is explained thus: to render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed towards him, to be equally well disposed towards his relatives and friends, and to follow his vows. These are the four principles to be followed by women described as chaste. So this was in 7.11.25. So this may sound like a tall order, but we can do what's possible for us. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do this, you know, to render service, to always be favorably disposed towards the husband as well as his relatives and family, to follow his vows. In the purport, that is also explained as meaning, or to act as he acts, to do as he does. You know, these are four principles that are followed. So the Latin root of the word chaste means morally pure. So the broader principle of chastity isn't exclusive to just those who are married. We can each consider how faithful we are in our relationship to Guru and Krishna. broadly speaking, we can consider how true are we? Chastity can mean to be true to or truly following. We have a wonderful example in the life of Srila Prabhupada, who in 1922 was given the instruction to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And though he couldn't fully realize this until 1965, he was always preparing to fulfill it, printing back to Godhead, translating Srimad Bhagavatam into English and Bhagavad Gita into English, forming his League of Devotees. He was always true to his guru's instruction and not neglectful of it. So in this way, he was faithful or chaste to his guru's instruction. Something else that's stated in the Antilila CC by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is very sweet. My dear Vallabha Bhatta, you do not know religious principles. Actually, the first duty of a chaste woman is to carry out the order of her husband. The order of Krishna is to chant his name incessantly. Therefore, one who is chaste and adherent to the husband Krishna must chant the Lord's name, for she cannot deny the husband's order. So we understand that actually Krishna is the only Purush. He's the only male or enjoyer. And all other living beings are Prakriti or energy or those to be enjoyed. So in that understanding, one can see that Krishna is actually the husband of all living entities, of all living beings. So in understanding this quality of chastity, we can also consider how chaste are we to Krishna's teachings and to his instructions. Moving on to Kunti Devi. She's described in the purport as being the incarnation of the success potency of the personality of Godhead. Can anyone think why? Anyone? I'll tell you. Well, I'll give you some light, I hope, on this. So throughout her life and the lives of the Pandavas, they suffered many trials and tribulations. Even though they were eternal associates of the Lord, they weren't spared suffering. You know, in the pure devotees of the Lord. The Kauravas were out to destroy them, to kill them. But against the odds, they were saved so many times. Krishna turned it around and made it all auspicious for them. But Kunti's success wasn't based on any material conditions. It was based on the special mercy of the Lord. And this is why she's referred to here as the success potency of the personality of Godhead. Some of the calamities that they had to endure were being killed by poison, fire, they had to encounter man-eating demons, they lost their kingdom, their prestige, and they were exiled. Their wife was also lost. But throughout all these dangers, Krishna was there. And we can marvel at Queen Kunti's devotion in her prayers. In 1.8.25, she prays, Vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhavadarshanam. I wish that all those calamities would come again and again so that we could see you again and again, for by seeing you it means that we will no longer see repeated birth and death. So throughout all these atrocities that they had to suffer, Krishna was there and they were remembering him. He was there for them. And Queen Kunti, in her prayer, remembers how in every trial and tribulation Krishna was there for them. And she's praying at this point that she can continue to have these calamities come in her life so that she can see him again and again. So this is a wonderful prayer to welcome suffering. And we may not be able to pray like that, but we can marvel at her mood and at her devotion. In 10.14.8, it says, Tattenukampam sukshamikshamana bunjanevatmakritam vipakam ridvagvapurbir vidadanamaste jivetayo muktipade sadayabhag jai shishirada gokulananda ki jai. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Well, this is a gem of a verse. It's a wonderful verse in the Bhagavatam. And in the purport, Srila Sridhar Swami explains that just as a son just has to remain alive to gain his inheritance from his father, As devotees, we just have to remain in Krishna consciousness, following the regulative principles of bhakti yoga to become eligible to receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So there's so much encouragement given there to us, you know, because in this material world, there's suffering at every step. Padam padam yadvipadam natesham, you know. There's no way to avoid suffering. You know, it's dukkhalayam and shashvatam. It's temporary and it's miserable. We can't go away from that. But if we can use these calamities as an impetus, or these trials as an impetus to remember Krishna, then by remembering his lotus feet again and again, and offering him our sincere respects from the core of our heart, we can actually endear him and prepare ourselves for liberation. So that's wonderful. So if we can follow the example of Kunti Devi, even in some small way, she being the success potency of the Lord, we're sure to be successful. And she attracted the Lord with her devotion. Another nice prayer she says is, Tvai me ananya vishaya mati madhupate stakrit ratim utva hata tata gange vogam udanviti. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn to you without being diverted to anyone else. It's such a sweet verse, and there's so much we can learn from her sincere mood of devotion and dependence on Krishna. I'd like to now discuss Draupadi a little. She's referred to as being most chaste here. Ahalya Draupadi Sita Tara Mandotari Tata Panchakanya Smare Nityam Mahapatakanashanam. Meditating on these five chaste ladies destroys even the greatest of sins, or remembering them can destroy the greatest of sins. So that verse is referred to in 9:10:27, where Srila Prabhupada says, not only was Mother Sita powerful, but any woman who follows in her footsteps can also become similarly powerful. There are many instances of this in the history of Vedic literature. Whenever we find a description of an ideal chaste lady, Mother Sita is among them. Mandodari, the wife of Ravan, was also very chaste. Similarly, Draupadi was one of five exalted chaste women. As a man must follow great personalities like Brahma and Narad, a woman must follow the path of such ideal women as Sita, Mandodari, and Draupadi. By staying chaste and faithful to her husband, a woman enriches herself with supernatural power. It's a lovely section from that purport there, where Srila Prabhupada is glorifying the potency and the chastity of these wonderful personalities that we read about and study about in the Bhagavatam and the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. So in this purport, the attempt at disrobing of Draupadi is described. And I'm sure we all know this pastime well, but her chastity and devotion attracted Krishna's mercy and his protection. Initially, when she was dragged in and Dushasana was trying to disrobe her, she resisted and she held onto a sari. She was holding onto a sari with one hand and still calling out to Krishna, calling out for help with the other. But then seeing that there was nothing she could do to help herself, her calling out like this was of no avail, she put both hands in the air and called out, Govinda, Damodar, Madhaveti. And miraculously, Krishna himself became an unlimited sari, and Dushasana was defeated. He couldn't disrobe her. And despite her delicate form, she had an unshakable strength, which was grounded in her faith in Krishna. Agre kuruna matapanavanam dushasane avatavastra kesha krishna tadakroshat ananyanatha govinda damodara madhaveti. When in front of the Kurus and Pandavas, Dushasana dragged her by her cloth and hair. Angered, Draupadi, seeing no other lord, called, O Govinda, O Damodar, O Madhava. That's from the Govinda Damodar Stotram by Bildamangal Thakur. So this is a wonderful portrait, or a wonderful scene that we read about and we can draw into our hearts. Because Draupadi was more dependent on Krishna than even her husband's, and that was her real chastity. And that's something we can all focus on, being exclusively dependent on Krishna, which is one of the six items of surrender. Anukulya sankalpa pratikulya vivarchanam rakshishyatiti vishwaso guptrite varanantata atmanikshepa karpanye sattvita sharanagati. So these two principles, rakshishyatiti vishwaso and guptrite varanantata, accepting the Lord's protection, or taking exclusive protection of the Lord and accepting Him as one's Lord and Master, are shown here by Draupadi through her example. So, in summary, we've considered the quality of chastity through the example of Gandhari, what it takes to be successful through trials, through the example of Kunti's devotion, and exclusive dependence on Krishna through the example of Draupadi. So I'd like to pause here in view of time. If anybody has any questions, comments, reflections, additions,